is
you're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station broadcasting on Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Kutsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolo First Nations. At Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. Happy Dragon Boat Festival from me to you, me as in Leslie, you as in the listener of Typically Tuesdays. I'm going to be resharing an episode that Jade and I did of TT from 3 years ago that is about Dragon Boat Festival, and importantly, about the legend of Dragon Boat Festival and its alternative readings of it. It's probably one of my very favorite community radio programs I've ever had the pleasure of doing, and re-listening to this show brought me so much joy. I hope you'll get into it. I have changed the playlist up a little bit, however. It is no longer the Bodies of Water playlist that was originally on the show that aired. It is, I guess I can describe it as like Chinese language love songs, and if they're not about love, then somehow in some way or another the musician is of the Chinese diaspora and queer. You'll understand more as we get into it. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Right after this PSA.
This is Bird Note. One day, as it began to hail near Toronto, Marlon Innes saw several Canada geese doing something odd. Rather than trying to shield their heads, the geese pointed their bills skyward, directly into the path of the hail. While it seemed counterintuitive, the geese were pointing the smallest surface area of their sensitive bills, the narrow tip, into the descending hail, minimizing the impact. Innes captured the behavior on video, which helped reaffirm an observation made by naturalist Aldo Leopold 100 years before. He saw northern pintails, a species of duck, adopting the same stance in a hailstorm. Birds may take on other postures to protect against hail. Swans and gulls caught in hailstorms sometimes tuck their heads beneath their folded wings or into their body feathers. But birds, even larger species, can't always avoid injury in a hailstorm. Large hail, 2 inches in diameter or more, can kill birds. Some storms have had casualties of hundreds of birds at a time. Birds living in open environments, cormorants, ducks, herons, are vulnerable to sudden pounding hailstorms. Fortunately, these are uncommon events. And for lighter hail, they already have a strategy. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Dying for your country? That's gay. I'm Leslie.
Oh my God, that's too good. You know, they say up to 60% of the human body is made out of water. Well, I think 60% of my body is made out of sticky rice. I'm Jade.
Whoa, that is a revelation. Or did you always know this?
I don't know. I just had a health appointment the other day, and I think that's what they told me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like, you know how Mitzi said that her body is made out of crushed little stars? Well, my body is made out of crushed bits of sticky rice, I guess.
Is it
crushed
just
kernels of rice?
Is it just plain sticky rice?
No, I think it's like soy sauce based sticky rice. It's like a sticky rice dumpling.
That sounds great. That sounds
so fun. You also have braised meat, you have dried mushrooms, you have a little salted duck egg. It's a whole meal.
It is. And it sounds really like hearty too. You know, you're just like, wait, hold on. Did you say whole meal? Are you saying that people can eat you?
Well, we'll get to that. Okay. I mean, I would prefer not to be eaten by people or by any fish. So what can you do?
I'll put that down in my notes. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll try to not.
Yeah, I have that. I have that on my CV, just in my other interest section. I prefer not to be eaten by people or fish.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I honestly, when you told me that you put it on your CV, I was like, oh, maybe you have it as like a professional thing. You know, 25 years as a sticky rice person.
You know, that really is quite the accomplishment. Sticky rice gets pretty messy sometimes. Being able to hold it in together for 25 years is really, it's really something. I think I'm pretty proud of myself.
An incredible feat. Are your feet also made of sticky rice?
An incredible feast.
Oh, yes.
Even though I don't want to be thought of that way.
Dragon Boat Festival is coming.
Nice segue.
How are you, Jade?
I'm good. Okay, so for those that don't know, my lunar birthday falls on Dragon Boat Festival. So I'm excited. I'm turning 23 again for the third time, according to the lunar solar calendar and like, well, on the day of this broadcast, actually.
Happy 23rd birthday.
Yes, thank you. So yes, I'm excited. I'm excited for Dragon Boat Festival because I've always seen it as like my thing. So according to my mom, I have a whole birth story related to this. So I wasn't born on my due date, which is like fairly normal. Like most babies aren't born on their due dates. I think my due date was like a week later or earlier. I'm not sure. I think it was a week later. So the story that my mom tells me is that on Dragon Boat Festival, people were making zongzi, which is sticky rice dumplings. And the smell was so intoxicating that I immediately had to like leave my mother's body to like eat the sticky rice dumplings.
Is that a food that you genuinely enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do enjoy any sort of like glutinous rice thing. I really do like savory sticky rice dumplings a lot. I don't actually get to eat it that much, but I definitely appreciate eating it during Dragon Boat Festival season. And it's something that there's a lot of variety to as well. So depending on like what region you are in China, there are different ways of doing this. I know in Hong Kong, usually you'll have a sticky rice dumpling with a salted egg yolk. And in Shanghai, they usually put in braised pork. And I think in some other places, there's like some that are made out of taro. There's one I really like. I'm actually not super sure if it's a regional thing, but it's like it's a sweet sticky rice dumpling filled with peanuts, and you just unwrap it and you dip it in sugar and you eat it. It's always a good one.
My mom's really fond of that one, except with, instead of peanuts, she likes it with red bean.
Those are good too. Mung beans, green beans are good as well, which I didn't know what mumbings were. I didn't know they were called mumbings for the longest time. Because in Chinese, like, it literally just translates to green bean. Mm-hmm. So I thought those are the same things as green beans. I was sorely mistaken. So mung bean dumplings. Good stuff.
Good stuff. What's your favorite sticky rice dumpling? Like,
okay,
type?
So my favorite, I would say that I like savory dumplings more just generally, because I like savory things more than sweet things. The one that I like the most is like sort of like a, like, I don't like the word fusion. So let's say syncretic. It's like a syncretic dumpling that takes a lot of ingredients from different regional dumplings. So like a soy-based dumpling, like a savory soy-based dumpling with a salted egg yolk, Chinese sausage, and braised pork is probably my favorite. It's the one that my mom makes.
That sounds very good.
Yes. I'm like kind of picky about like some of the other ingredients in them. So I don't really like, I don't like peanuts in a savory application, for example. I don't like them when it's something salty. Mm-hmm. And I don't like water chestnuts, which I've had in some dumplings. And I don't like actual chestnuts either, which I've also had. I am actually, contrary to popular belief, considering I have a food blog, I am a very picky eater when it comes to texture. So just stick with soy sauce, salty things, some meat, I'm good to go.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. What about you?
I think mine is basically also the same as yours, which is, except I think the sticky rice isn't soy-based. It's just kind of plain. Then there's mung bean, a slice of Chinese sausage, or more specifically, a slice of Cantonese sausage from the people who we buy it from.
Right.
A salted duck egg yolk. And then, I'm not sure if this is the same for you, but a piece of fatty pork belly.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's like a pretty, I mean, I did say that it's pretty syncretic, but all of those things are pretty like Southern Chinese things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a homogeneously Southern Chinese dumpling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense if we're going to be paddling boats furiously.
And with eating sticky rice in general.
Yeah. 20 yeah. of our comrades. Yeah, so it's Dragon Boat Festival. Happy Dragon Boat Festival, I guess. And today we're going to be talking about that, and also talking about possibly the most well-known literary figure and kind of his, I don't know how to say, like, life in the closet. Mm.
Do they have something? Closets back then? What would be like a more like historically accurate metaphor?
Like a box, like a chest.
Yeah, just a life, chest. Life in the chest.
Life in the chest.
Let's do some music. Here is Tiger Bomb with Welcome Back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. You just heard Love Repeat by Shilhil and Fifi Zhang.
My name is Jade.
My name is Leslie. Blub, blub. We're talking about Dragon Boat Festival, which falls on this day this year in 2021 on June 14th. It is also Jade's lunar birthday. Happy Jade.
Happy Jade birthday.
Happy Jade birthday. happy Jade birthday. We're going to be talking about Dragon Boat Festival, which is, I guess, for me, like a new holiday that I'm becoming more interested in because of what we're going to explore today. Yes. So what do you know about Dragon Boat Festival, Jade?
Oh, boy. Okay, so... I mean, I know like the gist of it. I know like this is like the very abridged version that I knew and I was attached to a lot because it's a very sentimental story. So Dragon Boat Festival is the Duanwu Festival, where the is the fifth day of the fifth month. So the 5th of May in the lunar calendar. So it's a festival that commemorates a Chinese statesman and poet named
Qu Yuan.
Honestly, I don't know the whole story, but basically, the condensed version is that this was during like a period of war, and he was pretty depressed with how the state of politics was going, and ended up drowning himself. In protest, basically. And in doing so, he drowned himself next to this village, and the villagers, like, when the villagers heard of the news, they rushed in their boats, they paddled to the place where he drowned, and released a bunch of rice dumplings in the water so that the fish in the water wouldn't eat his corpse and would eat these dumplings instead. And this is why we do it. This is not the complete story. There's a lot of, like, I'm sure, Leslie, you're going to talk about, like, the more, like, syncretic origins of this festival, but this is, like, kind of the one story that gets, I think that's, like, how do you say it?
It's been canonized.
So this is kind of, like, the mainstream narrative of the festival, at least in China. This is what people are taught about, the story about this like patriot that loved his country so much that he committed suicide in protest when things went wrong.
Yeah, I think you covered pretty much the main parts of it. I also like how you said that the villagers released the sticky dumplings into the water.
Like releasing the Kraken, yeah.
Like, they just brought cages of like sticky rice dumplings and then pulled the cage open. They were like, go, I mean, find him.
That's really how I imagine it. Just like droves of an army of dumplings into the water.
Oh, the imagery is so fun. Yeah, so I think let's first start off with the name, which you touched on a little bit already. So in English, this day is called Dragon Boat Festival. But that comes from, I guess, the Europeans who were trying to colonize parts of China. When they saw what was happening during Duanwujie, they saw the dragon boats and they were like, oh, it's there, and there's a festival, it must be Dragon Boat Festival. In Chinese, it's called Duanwujie, or in Cantonese, Dunqi. And the Wu in Duanwu refers to a time of day in the traditional cosmology. It's also a homophone for the word five, and seeing as how this day is celebrated on the fifth day of the fifth lunar month, as Chinese people do, puns, Duanwujie has also been understood and translated by some people as double fist festival.
Double fist? That's new to me.
Double fist. Did I say double fist?
Now it just sounds like you're saying devil fist.
You know what? That's fine. It's okay. Way back in the day, it was believed that the fifth lunar month brought on a lot of misfortune. And logically, this tracks. It's really, really hot, which if you are an avid listener of Typically Tuesdays, you know that our brand is hot equals torture. It's also during this time when like rice is in harvest. So there are a lot of animals who might eat up the crops, and that can bring about some misfortune as well. And depending on the region in which you live, you're also experiencing monsoons, and that can lead to some disasters. So people prepared for the fifth month by hanging certain herbs, flowers, and plants on the doorways of their homes. Some families would even give perfume pouches to their children to ward off evil spirits. And so where do the dragons and the boats come in? A few legends talk about how the dragon boats became a part of festivities. The most well-known one is, of course, the one that you talked about, which is about Qu Yuan, a poet and politician of the Chu Kingdom. And he was alive from 340 BCE to 278 BCE. This was during the Warring States period in China, like you said, where there were states that were at war. And so the legend goes that Qu Yuan was an intense patriot and deeply devoted to his king, King Huai of Chu, who he served under as an official. But at some point in his political career, he began getting slandered by other people in the court, and he was sent to exile. During this time, he wrote a lot of poems, many of which were about his love for the country. And when he finally got news that Chu was captured by the Qing kingdom, he drowned himself in the Miluo River. Scholars in the Song dynasty have suggested that he did this because of his intense love for the Chu kingdom. But in an anthology of poems called Chu Ci, many of which are believed to be written by Qu himself, it's suggested that he wanted to die by his own morals. People who admired him, which were many, went searching for him on these really long boats. And as you said, they released balls of sticky rice into the river to prevent the fish from eating his corpse. So the reason why we're talking about Qu Yuan's story today and why people talk about him these days is because of how he's been revered. There's a mainstream reason, and then there's a not so mainstream reason. In the early to mid 20th century, scholars were becoming more interested in his character as a possible revolutionary figure. So scholar, socialist, and Chuzi fanboy Wen Yiduo, he wrote that Xu Yuan was the people's first poet because of his writings, values, and his widely understood readings for suicide, which were a strong sense of politics, nationalism, and honoring one's values. Over time, for a lot of reasons, that idea just became stronger and canonized, I think. So now, Xu Yuan's status has become one revered for his patriotism. But, and it's a big but, that status has in some ways also stifled discourse of his body of work and life. In 1944, literary scholar, hold on, let me see if I can read this, Sun Cizhou argued that Xu Yuan was in love with King Huai. In his poem Departing in Sorrow, which was published in Chuzi, he used language to describe the king that female poets commonly use to describe their male lovers, calling him Meiren, which means a beautiful man, or describing him by saying that, I think the term is Lingxiu, he restores the soul.
Oh my God.
That's gay.
That's super gay. Also, I that's so interesting. I've never heard, at least in modern Chinese, Meiren as describing a man, because right. Usually it's like a beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. You don't really describe men as beautiful, really, in a modern sense, which I really like that. I think it's great. Himbo King.
Himbo King. Sun went on to suggest that actually Xu Yuan's suicide was not only for the love of his country, but also perhaps for the love of his king, who he felt had betrayed him when the Chu kingdom began to practice the politics of the Qin kingdom.